This is the Education Gadfly Show.
I don't think that being working in a think tank is underemployment.
I've in my experience in this world, some years it's been overemployment.
Now, here's your host.
Hey folks, this is Trekker Finn of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Welcome to the Education Gadfly Show. I'm here in the unaccustomed role of Chief Gadfly, Mike Petrilli being out today. And I'm really delighted to be joined by my co-host du jour, John Chubb, fresh from education sector.
Hey, thanks for having me, Trekker.
So what's happening in education sector and with you these days?
Well, there's a lot going on, but in the last week, we've been focused, like many organizations, on what the Obama administration is going to do with its mandate or its reelection. We just had this important national election, and in effect, everything politically is still the same. We have the same president, we have the same makeup in the Senate, and we have the same makeup in the House, which adds up to divided government and a likelihood of impasse. And I don't think the American voters want to have just more of the same. So earlier this week, we had an event where we had our task force commenting on what the Obama administration ought to do. And the consensus was that the administration has a golden opportunity with both ESEA and the Higher Education Act, in other words, the federal government's whole ball game, up for reauthorization. Wouldn't it be a show of real leadership to push for the reauthorization of both of those?
That would be fantastic. I hope we don't fall off an education cliff as well as a fiscal cliff in the weeks ahead. We will first play Pardon the Gadfly. Welcome, Pamela. Stump us with some toughies.
Starting in 2013, 10 school districts in 5 states will pilot a program to extend the school day, adding up to 300 hours of learning time to their yearly calendars. Is this a good idea?
What do you think, John? Good idea?
I think it's probably not a good idea. Time well spent is something that one can't argue with. The problem is that time is usually not well spent. Education sector actually did a report on this about 9 months ago, looking at lots and lots of examples of extended time, school improvement grant cases, for example, and found that the results were less than mixed. They tended to be negative. The problem is that you need quality more than you need quantity, and if you increase the quantity of time without increasing the quality of instruction, you're not going to get good results.
Well, I can't disagree with that, but I do want to say that we've known for a long time that American kids don't spend as much time in school as their worldwide counterparts, and they probably don't spend enough time in school to learn all that we need them to learn. So I'm hoping that the other changes get made too, and that we make good use of this added time.
Absolutely agree with that. If we could put more time to good use, that would be great. The reason I'm concerned about it is that I think chances are that the hard part, which is improving quality of instruction, will not happen, and so we'll get more time.
That's always the hard part, isn't it? What's next, Pamela?
The first ever federally compiled graduation rates were released last week, showing lower than expected rates in most states and wide achievement gaps. What can be done to fix this?
Whoa, another perennial stumper. John, what can be done to fix this?
Well, graduation rates ultimately are high because students beginning very early in their school careers are not taught to read, find themselves struggling once they get to fourth and fifth grade, become disillusioned with school. This increases in middle school, and by high school, they can't see any reason to be there. Their frustration levels are high. So the roots go all the way back to poor elementary schools. I wouldn't focus on high schools as the problem. I think it's poor elementary instruction that causes the problem ultimately.
Yeah, it's poor instruction all the way up the line, and certainly a lack of incentive to complete high school, because we don't give you much in this country just because you have a high school diploma. That's, of course, one of the justifications for the Common Core, is to make the high school diploma actually represent college readiness and workplace readiness. If today it's just a piece of paper with no tangible reward in the real world, it's a little hard to persuade a bored and struggling 16-year-old that this is worth sticking around for.
Yep, that's absolutely right. It's clearly the case that if you don't finish high school and you don't, in fact, get higher education, that you are not going to have much opportunity in this country. Nevertheless, if the kids are badly educated from the get-go, they're not going to be able to do that kind of long-term calculation, and they make bad decisions.
Bad decisions. Pamela, give us a good decision.
Louisiana, endeavoring to comply with Common Core, rejected every math and reading textbook that publishers sent them in the most recent adoption cycle. But shortly after, a Louisiana state judge shot down the state's school voucher program. What's going on in Louisiana?
A strange place, the Bayou State. They've got alligators, too. But good food. Let's acknowledge that this is a pretty gutsy thing to do, to reject all the textbooks on grounds that they're out of compliance with the Common Core. Of course, it presupposes that something better is going to come along and be available, and I hope they're not going to just take the publisher's word for it. I hope they're going to actually find a way to screen and figure this out for themselves. But clearly, you can't have new standards without instructional materials that match them. But John, say something about this voucher case. Are vouchers dead in Louisiana? What's your take?
Well, the courts are impossible to predict, so I wouldn't venture a guess on the voucher program. But I think that the voucher program should be seen as a small part of the action in Louisiana. Louisiana, in fact, has become the most choice-based state in the country. New Orleans is a substantially charter-based system now, not a top-down system, and that I think is more important. I think it's tragic that the voucher program has been turned down. Although the issues that are raised have some validity, my hope is that the legislature will go back, take a look at some of the issues, and try to make changes so that it can be sustained.
Well, I think the very next stop is going to be a court appeal. A little bird in Louisiana assures me that the state will appeal this decision to a higher court in Louisiana. And that little bird suggested to me that that a lot of folks expect the higher courts to overturn the decision that came last week. I hope that's the case. It's, in my opinion, a well-designed voucher program. It is, as you say, just a fraction of the many interesting and lively and, I think, promising things that have been going on in Louisiana. Not the whole story, but it may yet come alive and go into operation.
Well, Louisiana is the most exciting choice state in the country right now, and about the voucher program allowing private schools to participate enriches that certainly. Nevertheless, the politics in Louisiana, like a lot of places, are pretty unpredictable, and therefore you have this you have market-based reform on the one hand, and then you have highly centralized decisions about textbooks on the other hand. You know, it's a little bit schizophrenic. And
much has been written over the years about Louisiana politics. I don't think we've seen the end of that story yet either. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you very much, John and Pamela. And we are going to commence our very exciting Research Minute. It's time for the Research Minute. I'd like to welcome back the wonderful, magnificent Fordham Vice President for Research, the inimitable Amber Winkler. What? Take it away, Amber.
Yay, so much better than Mike's introduction every week. All right, we have a depressing study. You guys ready for a depressing study this week?
Love them.
Comes out from the Annie Casey Foundation, published a report called Youth and Work, analyzed data from the 2011 current population survey, as well as recent data from the census and BLS. Youth unemployment is at its lowest level since World War II. Only half of people ages 16 to 24 held jobs in 2011. That's the headline. Among the teens in that group, 1 in 4 is now unemployed, compared to 42% in 2000. Overall, 6.5 million people ages 16 to 24 are both out of school and out of work. 21% of those are parents. Young adults living in families with incomes below $20,000 are 3 times as likely to be out of school and work as those in the highest income families of $100,000 or more. Highest youth employment rates for ages 20 to 24. You guys want to guess which states have the highest youth employment rates?
Youth employment rates.
Mm-hmm.
Employment or unemployment?
Employment.
Employment. I give.
Corn.
Nebraska. Iowa.
Nebraska. It's close. North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Lowest rates, Mississippi and New York. Bit of a silver lining here. More kids are staying in high school and enrolling in college. For example, young adults ages 20 to 24, college enrollment rates rose from 31% in 2000 to 38% in 2011. Finally, recommendations. They say, look, these young adults are facing more competition from older workers for these entry-level jobs. They recommend a bunch of strategies, but a couple of them that call caught my eye, link outcomes outcomes to degrees, attainment, not inputs, and also to come up with some youth payroll tax credits. They said, you know, this might help businesses be incentivized to hire these young people. I'm going to add one thing that wasn't in there, and that is let's redefine what vocational education means. We still think of it like the 1950s, and there was very little discussion of vocational ed in the report.
Thank you, Amber. That's pretty dismaying on the whole. John, what do you make of this?
Well, this recession that we've come out of slowly, but I guess surely, has largely been a recession of the non-college educated. And that's important to understand, because I think it's important to understand in general, but it says something about these statistics. The young people who are unemployed in large numbers and from state to state where the numbers are better or worse suggest that this has a lot to do with a failure to complete college or to earn a degree or a certificate of some kind. And, until young people understand the importance of college, get through college or a two-year certificate of some value, I think this is going to be a constant. People who have the degrees, maybe they're underemployed, but they are not out of work.
I still have faint hope for a meaningful high school diploma that actually signifies that you've learned something rather than a piece of paper. But you're probably right. In the modern world, it's probably going to take more than even that. Right now, I think the country has to work on both those challenges, actually, the meaningful high school diploma and the post-secondary training. Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Amber.
Yeah, I mean, just one quick thing. You can splice this, Joe. I mean, I think the underemployed point is really interesting. And we were talking just recently around here. Our interns, I don't know if you've noticed, Checker, but MIT, Stanford, Harvard, I mean, our interns are coming from top-notch colleges. In many cases, leave us and still have no job.
Well, I knew they were smart. I didn't know they were also that well-credentialed.
Yeah, I don't think that working in a think tank is underemployment.
I've, in my experience in this world, some years it's been overemployment.
Yeah. Anyway, you feel for these young kids who, have studied their heart out and are still having a hard time finding a good job.
Well, we're glad to take advantage and exploit them in the meanwhile.
We are.
Well, thank you, Amber. The Education Gladfly is happy to puzzle the whole country by discovering in the very same broadcast that we have both a faltering high school graduation rate and a rising college entrance rate. It's an amazing country. Until next week.
I'm John Chubb.
And I'm Checker Finn. On behalf of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, thanking you for joining the Gadfly.
The Education Gadfly Show is a production of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, located in Washington, D.C. For more information, visit us online at edexcellence.net.